So if you'd stand with me this morning, I'm going to read John 14, 1 through 7. I should probably put the page number in the Pew Bible up there, but it's on the screen in big letters, right? And he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father. Also, from now on, you do know him and have seen him." Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing upon this word this morning. I pray that it would be anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. It would touch our hearts, our minds, our souls, Lord, today, our very lives, every part of our being, that, Lord, we would understand what it means to know the Father, to know Christ, and, Lord, even more importantly, what it means in that knowing. Bless this word. Let it go forth by your hand in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It was kind of interesting this week as I had this passage of Scripture. I did not have it intended or in mind last week when I prepared last week's message. But last Sunday we examined the word of the prophet Micah and what I would like to refer to as the triad of requirements which the Lord requires of his people. And we looked at those last week. The prophet offered us a trio of items which Yahweh required in place of stale sacrificial worship, which the people thought would appease God. Instead, he shows us and them that what God requires is to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. Those were last week's 3 points. This morning's passage offers us another trio of points to consider in our Christian walk. These points come directly from the Lord Jesus, Jesus Christ himself. Often these points get lost in the translation as the Lord's words often serve as moral and spiritual absolute of the Christian faith, presented only as that which is Christ. And what I mean by that is we look at the passage of Scripture and we go back and take a look at what it says there. We tend to look at verse 6, okay? Those words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Those words have probably been, are some of the most alienating words in Scripture. And what I mean by that is as Christians, we look at those words and we see that, excuse me, that those words mean that there's no other way to heaven but Jesus. Okay? Which means all the other religions of the world that do not follow Jesus cannot get into heaven. I'm not going to dispute that fact this morning. But what tends to happen with this is we tend to look at this as a spiritual or a moral absolute to the fact that Jesus is the only way. I've got Jesus. I've got the way. No good. No amen. All right. So, but I want to touch on this morning and get you to realize something, help us all to realize something that it goes a little, I believe, a lot deeper than that. If Jesus Christ is to be our example, then the words he shares must also be as real and true for each and every one of us as they are for him. You see, John 14:6 becomes more than just an evangelistic statement of absolutes, which negates the argument for all other religious systems. But that's where we tend to place it. It's out there, right? That's the standard that we set. When Jesus states, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he invites each of us to enter into new life and relationship in which he who serves as a statement for us, we must become. Boy, that was a rough sentence. Let me put it in another way. He invites us each to enter into a new life relationship with him so that we become like him. When Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," I do not believe that those words were strictly for him. And what I mean by that is, yes, we're not Jesus. I can't get anybody to heaven. I can't deal with the truth, necessarily equate to the truth of God, okay, and I cannot bring new life. But what I can do is follow Christ's example, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. Because I believe there are three things that we need to see in those three terms, way, truth, and life. The first of these is we are required to walk the way. See this? Huh? Yes. Jesus is our only path or only way to God. We must come to realize the fact that, yes, I have accepted Jesus Christ. He is my way, but am I living that way? Am I following the path that is set before me? Does Jesus become my example for daily life? If I were to sit down and evaluate every day of my life, does how I live, how I act, and what I do match up with Jesus Christ? I'm not going to be perfect. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is we are on the same way, the same path that Jesus Christ is on. He has established a path for us. So when he says, I am the way, what he's saying is, follow me. Okay? Advance this. Thank you. Okay, so I am the way. We must learn to walk the path that's set before us. And that path is Jesus Christ. There is no other path. So yes, while we see this for the world, and we talked about this, I think, in Sunday school this morning a little bit, we started to talk about the idea of familiarity with the Lord. We were talking about the Jerusalem Council. We were talking about the idea here that there were those who tried to find another way of salvation for the Gentiles. Okay, the Judaizers, those that said, oh, okay, you've got Jesus, now you need to follow the customs of Moses. And if we're not careful, we can follow that path. And yet Jesus seems to not lay that out for us, does he? He seems to say, there's only one way to the Father, and that's me. Okay, now, Psalm 86:11 puts it this way. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. The psalmist here, which is David, by the way, is saying that I need to know how to walk in the way of the Lord. And the only one that can teach me to do that is the Lord. I can't do it by my own power. I can't justify my actions as that which I do because God allows me to do it because of who I am, because of my salvation, because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we're not careful, we find ourselves justifying our actions, finding new ways to do things. But you see, as Paul tells us in Galatians 5, the path for all of us is the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit who leads us in righteousness. It's the Spirit who draws us to the Father, and it's the Spirit in whom we walk every day. Yes, I cannot walk Jesus' path where Jesus is. But I understand that path, I understand that way, I walk that way because I walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. If I walk in the flesh, then I find myself justifying certain things or making a path that is my own. And we cannot do that. We cannot allow that to happen. We must realize that it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we're able to walk the way that is Jesus Christ. And when Jesus makes the statement, I am the way, it's not just to tell us who he is, it's to show us who we should follow. There is no other way. The second thing we see here is he says to know the truth. I am the truth. So to know the truth, okay, we realize here that Jesus then is our only source of truth. There is no other truth. Now, we live in a world where truth is relative. Morality is not absolute. We find our people struggle each and every day with this. And so we need to come to an understanding that there is only one truth, and that is God. We cannot determine what is truth for ourselves. I know we would love to do that, because then what's true for me and what's true for you can be very different. And this is the struggle of the world. They question why things aren't a certain way or whatever, and it's because everybody's out trying to determine for themselves what is true. And yet Jesus says there's only one truth, and I'm it. There is no other truth. So when we look to the Word of God, we come to understand that the only real source of truth is Jesus Christ. And so we must seek to know the reality that is set before us, and that reality is Jesus. There is no other. You know, it's interesting in my years in pastoral ministry, my years even here at this church, which, you know, I've been here quite a while now. that I can, every once in a while, I just hear these words coming out of individuals' mouths in conversation, just in passing. Well, that might be true for you, but. There is no but in the truth of God. It's the same for all of us. You see, the thing is, for us, truth is something that we can choose to have or not to have, but God cannot. His truth is absolute because He is truth. It's not a characteristic, it's an attribute of who He is. He can only live in truth, which means God cannot lie. God cannot live outside of Himself or do anything that goes contrary to His very will. He can only be true. And so when we read the Word of God, and we begin to interpret the Word of God, we have to say, okay, well, this is truth for all of us, not just some of us. We can't begin to piecemeal or pick and choose which ones we see as true. In Psalm 119, verse 160, it says this, "The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever." Excuse me. Psalm 119. So what's the psalmist saying here? What is truth? The sum of his word. If I were to take this word right here, and I know the psalmist isn't dealing with this, he's dealing with his relationship. For us, this word is truth. I cannot pick and choose which I want to be truth and what I don't. The sum of his word is truth. This is our life. This is how we live. We live to honor God by the sum of his word. And so we see this here. This idea, and it endures forever. This truth is as true today as it was 500 years ago. Nothing's changed. Humanity changes, our thoughts change, our cultures change, but the understand this truth is, if it's different, then I can't teach it. As we're looking at Acts 15 this morning, we're talking about the events that took place surrounding the Jerusalem Council, and we're sharing in our conversation, and we're talking about this. If it's not true today, then it's irrelevant to us, and I just tear it out. But I can't do that. Because God gave it to us for a reason. Oh, there's another word, too, that's true. And that's in John 1, where Jesus says, "I am the Word." Or John says, "In the beginning was the Word." The sum of God's truth is summed in the life of His Son, Jesus Christ. In Christ we see truth. That's why Jesus can make that statement, "I am the truth," because I am the Word. You see that? So the reality for all of us is that God is truth, and there is no other source for truth. We cannot find real truth outside of God. Now, again, we look at this word truth and we see it as a word that applies to the world. Well, the only true religion is Christianity. The only true Savior is Jesus Christ. The truth is only Jesus can get you to heaven. And we want to apply that outside, but yet let's take it and apply it here as well. Am I living a life that believes that Jesus Christ is truth in all things? Or do I find myself justifying non-truth outside of Him? Because to do so is wrong. There is no truth apart from Jesus Christ. You cannot develop or reinterpret your own truth as you choose to. You either accept it all or you accept none of it. You can't just take bits and pieces. As I said, we went to Popeye's on Thursday, and I saw they had the chicken sandwich. And I was like, I really wasn't going to get the chicken sandwich. I just love their chicken. I'm sorry. Yeah. Leg and a thigh. Couple sides, biscuit, I'm there, right? Yes, my cholesterol was, but it's so good. Yes. It's probably my favorite fast food chicken place that has chicken with a bone in it. That's why I had to do that to get Chick-fil-A out of the loop. But I thought, okay, I'm going to get the chicken sandwich. And one of the students said, "Why are you getting that?" I said, "Because you know what? People are talking about this. Can I really say what's better if I've never tried both?" Remember a point in your life when you didn't have Jesus? You tried the other way. You tried your truth. Your truth kept letting you down. It kept failing you. But there's a truth that will never fail you. You've tried them both. Which is better? Live it. If it's better, live it. That's the only option we have. Don't drop back into that other truth, that truth of relativity, that truth of that you determine what it is and live contrary to God. And that leads us to the third point, which is live the life. Live the life. You see, Jesus is our only course of life. There is no other way. You know, I talked about walking the way. This is the way. I am the life. We must follow the example set before us. Jesus Christ is our example. Can we live up to the standard that's Jesus Christ? I don't think so. He was God. He was perfect. That's why only He could die for our sins, because of that perfection. And yet He gives us so many statements. Statements like, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. To know me is to know the Father. I and the Father are one. In essence, what He's saying is, in all truth, I'm God. Live as I've given you the example. The Heavenly Father could not come down and stand before us and live and give us an example of what it means to live a godly life, so He sent His Son, who came in the flesh and lives as a prime example for us of exactly what life should be like. We find a life of devotion. We find a life of compassion. We find a life of love. We find a life who wasn't looking for things to be returned to him in kind, but just gave as the Spirit led him. Not expecting anything in return, but doing it because this was the life he was sent to live. And yet we live in a world today where even within the church, churches have to look at the bottom line and say, well, how will we benefit from this? And we have to ask ourselves, well, what kind of benefit are you looking for? And the same is true of us personally. Sometimes we say, okay, God, yeah, I could do that, but how would I benefit from it? Well, first of all, you benefit because you were obedient to God. And that's the only benefit you need. Okay, anything else is just, you know, worldly. Jesus Christ, did He struggle in His obedience? Absolutely. We find times in His life where He struggled to fulfill the call that He was sent to fulfill. We see this in the garden, just before His arrest. Prime example. And yet, what did He do? He lived a life, didn't He? Thank God for that. That He lived His life. He lived the life, even unto death. Sacrificing all of who He was, all that He could do, everything that He had, set aside His godly desires and passions for the sake of fulfilling the call that was there. His power was put away so that He could become our example. And if we're not living the life that is Jesus Christ, we're not living His example. We must follow that example set before us. Psalm 36:9 puts it this way, For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light do we see light. You see, the example for all is the Son of God and the life that He lived. He becomes our example. He is the fountain of life for us. We don't look other places. We don't, you know, there's a tendency and sometimes to look at even individuals in the Bible. Oh, you know, if I could just be like Paul, or I could just be like Ruth, or I could just be like, maybe not David. No, at times. But you get my point. Okay, we have all these great men and women. And I try to put it this way to my students. We have, over here we have God working to create the heavens and the earth. Genesis chapter 1. Over here we have God creating a new heavens and a new earth in Revelation. You know who the theme is from beginning to end of the Bible? God. God begins, God ends, God creates, God recreates. Everybody else are bit players. We want to focus on the bit players. We want to focus on the Davids and the Pauls and the Peters. And again, the Ruths and all of them and the Esthers. And they're nothing more than bit players in a grand scheme in which God is the ultimate. He starts it. He finishes it. It's Him. Everything else, all these people, the Josephs, others, all they do is show us the truth of who God is. And while we want to go ahead and see their stories for what they are, let's not venerate them and put them above God. And the same might be true with someone in your life, someone who's had a great impact on you, someone who's been a mentor to you, someone who's done, you know, something wonderful for you. Maybe the person that led you to Jesus Christ, realized they're just another bit player. I don't want to diminish their role, but let's not elevate them above God Himself. Because you see, He is the fountain of life. And that's the life that we live. He is the example, and that our best example of that is Jesus Christ. Notice that Jesus never elevates Himself above the Father. He always acts and moves and works in submission to the Father Himself. We should follow that example. We should live our lives in that way. You see, to believe in the way, the truth, and the life means to walk, know, and live, as Christ did. The command for believers is as absolute as Jesus' command for all to come and follow Him. It shows us that there's no other way to the Father, and there's no other way to be lived. So this morning, as we prepare to close together, I just have a few questions. The first of these is, are you walking the way of the Spirit? Do you manifest the fruit of the Spirit in your life daily? All the fruit. Daily. Because to walk the way is to walk in the Spirit. And if you're here this morning and you're not, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and you're saying, you know what, this is not my daily routine. I am not walking the way of the Spirit. But today, that's going to change. Today, I want to walk as Jesus walked. If that's you this morning, I want to pray for you, anyone at all. You want to walk the way of the Spirit. Any others? Now, do you know, second question, do you know the truth of the Father? Do you accept all of God's truth as absolute? When you read the Word of God, are you picking it apart a little bit in your mind, saying, you know what, yeah, that's really nice, but it just doesn't really apply to me. It applies to you, without exception. And if you're here this morning, you would say, you know what, I need to understand the truth of the Father as absolute in my life. I've been justifying things. I can't do that anymore. That needs to change. God's truth must be my truth. If that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Thank you. Any others? God's truth. Is it your truth? Thank you. And then finally, are you living the life of Christ? Do you commit every day of your life in service to Him? Jesus was about... Now, Jesus led a balanced life. Don't get me wrong. Okay, I want you to understand this, because recently I heard some things about how, you know, important it is to serve. That serving is a way of really just getting closer to God. And yet Jesus took time to go off and pray. Jesus took time to go off and rest. Jesus found himself moving away from the crowds because they became overwhelming. Jesus had balance in His life. We need balance. Yet at the same time, we can become so focused on going off that we realize that there's a work to do. And Jesus shows us both. Can you live that life? Are you living that life? Do you have that balance? I'm not here to say this morning that you've got to commit yourself to Jesus. That if you just commit yourself to the work of the church, then everything will be, you know, coming up roses. That's not what I'm doing. You'll burn out. And that is the truth. You will. And you know who you'll blame? You'll blame God. That's not it at all. But at the same time, we can become lazy. What's the old term? Pew potatoes. We don't want that either, do we? It's not about sitting here being fed and fed and fed and not doing anything with it. So maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I'm not living the life of Christ. I'm not living His example. But today that's going to change. If that's you this morning, I want to pray for you. Anyone at all? Any others? Thank you. Any others? Live that life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is our perfect example of the way we walk, the truth we share, and the life we live. And there is no other. It's true for the world, and it's also true for us. Let's pray. Father, this morning as we close our time together, I ask in Jesus' name, your will be done in the lives of each and every one present this morning. Some today, Lord, raised their hand and said, I need to walk the way. And I'm not walking the way. But today that's going to change. And I ask you to bless them, honor them, Father, with their faithfulness to you, and begin to show them that walk that you would have them to take. Others are saying, Lord, the truth has become relative to me. I need to know the truth. And I need to live the truth. And today that's going to change. I'm going to become a one who sees the truth of God as absolute in my life, and that's the life I'm going to live. Honor them, Father, and their submission to the leading of your Spirit. And finally, Lord, those that say, I want to live the life. I'm not living the life that Christ lived. I see, Father, I need to bring balance, yes, but at the same time, I don't want to become slothful, but I don't want to become a workaholic. And I want you to show me, Father, how to live that life. And then I want to live it every day without exception. I want to live as Jesus lived. And so, Father, this morning I pray that you honor each and every one of these requests, these petitions, Lord, that have been brought before you. May your will be done in our lives and in this church, and we give you praise and we thank you for all things. Go with us now, we pray, and keep your hand upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.